Are you tired of spending hours sharing and sending offers to likers? Introducing Posher VA, the web program that will save you time and increase your sales. With Posher VA, you can automatically share your closet, send offers to likers, and schedule your share times, all with just a few clicks. Using code ELDUCHO, you can try Posher VA for 2 weeks for free, no credit card required. Posher VA is not just another program, it is your program. Say goodbye to manual sharing and hello to even more time in your business. Try Posher VA today using code ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO. Welcome to the Flip the Script podcast. I'm your host, Denali, and I'm a full-time reseller on eBay and Poshmark. My store and closet name is ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO, and you can find me on Instagram and YouTube as ELDUCHO Thrift. I'm very excited about this week's guest. I had the pleasure of interviewing a new friend, and her name is Nikki. You can find Nikki on Instagram under the username Glow Girl Glow, and that is G-L-O Girl G-L-O. And on Poshmark under the username Nikki's Closet Boutique, and all of this information will be in the show notes for you. Nikki is a part-time reseller who sells on multiple platforms. By day, you can find her as a United States Postal Service employee. How awesome is that? She lives in Georgia with her two children, and she's kind of managing it all and I think doing a really great job at it. So I think you guys will enjoy this episode. And just as a fun note, yesterday when you're listening to this podcast, so yesterday, Sunday, was Nikki's birthday. So if you have a chance this week, go to her Instagram page and wish her a happy birthday. But in the meantime, let's get into the episode. Hi, Nikki. Thanks for being on the podcast with me.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here.
I'm so excited to have you here. You know, I always like to reflect on show guests, on whether I've met them or, you know, how I've stumbled into their world or vice versa. And I actually think I first found out about you through our mutual friend, Leslie.
Yes.
A Reseller's Passion podcast. I'm not sure if it was from her podcast episode or you being, I think it was like a YouTube video that you guys did. And I was so intrigued to learn more about you because of the diverse amount of information that you were willing to share, which I mentioned in our pre-show conversation we just had, which is that you work for the post office.
Yeah.
You're a reseller. Okay. So already you're in my world. And that you're also into budgeting, which I think are three things that are really fascinating. So I'm excited to expand more on that today and get to know you a little bit better. And yeah, all of the above. So I guess to jump right into it, Nikki, my first question for you is how and when did you first start reselling?
Well, I started reselling in January of this year, so I'm still fairly new. I consider myself still new. And I started reselling actually to just to make some extra money to pay for my son's tuition because I had him in private pre-K. But as a new reseller, I didn't know what I was doing and I wasn't making the amount of money it costs for him to go to school. So I quickly changed my plan up. So I actually said, okay, well, let me just use this amount of money towards some debt because in July of last year, my mom had passed and then she didn't have any savings and I didn't have any savings and she didn't have a life insurance policy. So with all of basically everybody looking at me because I do work for the post office for money and I didn't have it, I wanted to get my finances in order. So I said, okay, well, I was, you know, using the reselling to pay for my son's tuition, but I'm not making enough every single week to pay for that. Let me just throw it towards some debt and take care of some debt because It is hard out here trying to, work a full-time job as a single mom, and I do have two kids, so I don't just have only one, and then one is in private school where I'm paying tuition, and I'm also paying all of the things like rent, car notes and things like that. It was hard to try to find some extra cash along with paying off that debt. So I'm using reselling to actually pay off of debt.
That's awesome. I think that that's what's so great about reselling is that people use the income for so many different things, right?
Right.
This extra, especially the part-time, right? The part-time people, it's like maybe it's going towards somebody's vacation fund. Maybe
Right.
it's going towards somebody's kids' daycare or schooling, like you mentioned. And then the debt part, I think, is really awesome because that is, it's a big burden. And if you can't get, I don't know, maybe if you're at a job and you're not going to get a raise for another 6 months, it's like, how do you make that income?
Right.
So, you mentioned starting reselling at the beginning of this year. How did you stumble into it? Because I feel like everybody stumbles into reselling somehow. It doesn't just happen naturally for whatever reason.
Well, I actually found the app back when I had my son. And as we all know, we have kids, they grow out of clothing so quick. And then I was trying to find him clothing for basically at an affordable price because he was growing out of clothing so quick. So I stumbled across the app, just to search for him some clothing. And then in the process, as he would grow out of clothing, I would put it back on there to resell and just purchase him new clothing. So that's how I actually came across the app.
Okay, and it was Poshmark.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. And when you were buying kids' clothes on there, just curious, as somebody who's like sold kids' clothing in different ways in my life, were you buying it in lots or did you buy like single pieces? Because I feel like buying single pieces is so expensive to do.
Right, I purchased in lots, yeah.
Gotcha.
And then
Okay.
they were like onesies, so they would come in different little sets and things like that. I don't know if you're familiar with the Carter set. That's
Yeah.
was my favorite.
Oh yeah, totally. I had tons of my son grew up in Carter's also. I think everybody's kid grew up in
Yeah.
Carter's at some point. Okay, so you're buying on there, and then you thought, okay, well, he's grown out of these items, and then you decided you just wanted to start flipping items on there also.
Yep, that's exactly what I did, just to purchase more items for him again.
Okay. And then when did you think to go out and start thrifting items to resell?
So when I start going through my closet, going through my kids' closet, selling all of their things, my boyfriend things, and then then I was running out of items, and I was like, okay, well, I'm getting low on inventory. I need, some more inventory. So first, what I did was, I actually went on the Nextdoor app and put a little ad up to try, because I try to keep my cost of goods very, very low because I, like I said, I still feel like I don't know what I'm doing. But I would put an ad on the Nextdoor app, asking people if they were donating any items, if I could come and pick them up. And then once that ran out, I eventually went to the thrift stores. And when I went to the thrift stores, I just would have a set price in mind that I would not go over. And that's how I started picking up items. And then when I start realizing people actually kind of like the same items I liked, and I found those items in the thrift store, that made me want to go to the thrift store even more because I knew that I could get items for a low cost and, flip it on the Poshmark app.
Yeah, I think that that is like that is so smart of you. I love that you went on the Nextdoor app, or I mean, any people could go on Facebook, whatever is like some local, hyper local information gathering website that they have for them. But to source clothing for free and that you sold through your home, right? Which is great. That's really the first thing that people should do when they're getting into reselling. And then you took it a step further into the community. I think that anybody who's new to reselling and listens to this, like Nikki, is like the best example of what you should do because it keeps your costs low, obviously, right? You're not paying anything for inventory. And then you also have kind of a longer I guess, opportunity to learn about what sells and makes and make mistakes in that time, right? Do you feel like in that time when you were still selling items that, you know, from Next Door App and from your home, that you, I guess, were able to make those mistakes? I mean, is there something that sticks out in your mind like, oh, I, when I was selling these clothes that I got for free, I learned this XYZ?
Well, yes and no, kind of, because I felt like, you know, I'm getting these items for free. So if I could get $10 on something I got for free, I was happy with that. But what I did learn is I was letting things go for little to nothing. I could have got a more of a higher profit margin, but I didn't know anything about checking comps and all of that. I just knew, you know, I got this item for, you know, nothing, and I'm selling it for $10. I made $10 from it. So I was just excited about
that. Is there something, like, is there a good brand that that happened with in the beginning?
Victoria's Secret Pink. I feel like I let all of those items go for, you know,
little, for nothing.
Yes.
Well, it happens, you know, we all have those stories, trust me. But that, again, that goes back to the beauty of, right, like, it didn't cost you anything.
Right.
So in the end, it doesn't, it's not a huge difference. Do you feel like in that time you were able to, I mean, work on other things, like, I don't know, other things that people worry about, like your photography or your descriptions or your whatever else?
Yes, I was. I was able to, you know, when you're on a Poshmark, you, you get to see, you know, other, everybody else's feed. So I did, I was looking at what other people were doing and just trying to implement it into my business and what, you know, what was best for me. So I saw that people, you know, were doing flat lays. Some people were modeling that item. So I, what I would try to do is to try to those techniques out as well. Now, what did work for me was actually just having like a plain background. I didn't go out of my way trying to be all fancy with getting like a lightning kit or lightning box or all of that. I just would put my items on the floor on a white clean sheet, and I would put it in front of the window, and I would just take my pictures from my phone. So I didn't go out and buy any lightning kits or any fancy cameras or anything like that. I just would just use what I have and then work it from there.
That's awesome. So you said that when you went out, when you started going out to the thrift store, what you liked is that you started picking up items that were more your style, that you felt like people were buying. I'm curious, like, what type of items were you getting?
So my style, I'm just simple. I always call myself, I'm just a plain Jane, but I just like graphic tees and jeans, and I prefer high-waisted distressed jeans. So I was, I didn't think anyone, you know, because I'm on Poshmark and I'm in the community and I'm hearing people talk all of these brands that I had no idea about. I just knew I come from, I guess, an era of, you know, Forever 21, H&M and things like that. But those were the items nobody really was, you know, saying in the community. But I would see these items all the time. So I was like, you know what? They were selling for me because those were the items that I had in my closet, especially Fashion Nova. Those are the only type of jeans I, you know, really wear. So when I would put those items that I couldn't fit anymore, those Fashion Nova jeans in my closet, they would sell really quick for me. So I was like, okay, well, nobody's really talking about this brand, but it's selling for me. So I was kind of, you know, I didn't know what to do, what to think. And, you know, when you're out at the thrift stores, you're listening to the community, you're trying to find those brands, but you're not really seeing those brands. But you're seeing the stuff that was really actually working for you. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm just gonna go ahead and pick it up anyway, and it will eventually sell for me.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think that, you know, I've talked about that with people in the past, that it's like, you can, there's a definitely a lot of noise in the community that you can listen to. People are gonna say, buy this, don't buy this, buy this, no, wait, don't buy this brand anymore. You know what I mean? And it's so hard to keep up with. But I think that there's also a lot to be said about sticking with what works for you. Like, if you have a proven method and you know what sells for you at a price that you're comfortable with, like, keep doing what you're doing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Especially if that's what's available to you in your stores in your area. Because I think people can get too caught up with, like, I need to find this brand, and you become so focused on finding that when you're at the thrift store that you potentially pass up probably a lot of other really great stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I know that you're in Georgia, yeah. right? Okay. So how is thrifting in Georgia? What's it like?
I don't really get a chance to get out thrifting that often. I'm going to be mm-hmm. honest with you, because I do work a full-time job and my hours, you yeah. know, are pretty long. The 8 hours is 8 to 4:30, 8 to 5, but I'm never off at 5 o'clock. So, and then with the pandemic right. and everything going on, stores are closing earlier. So I can barely make it to the thrift store. So I try to do at least one thrift store trip a month, but I just check out my local thrift store that's right down the street from my house, because I also do have kids that I try to spend time with too. So the thrift store right down the street from my house is pretty good. I can pick up all of those items that I just said, like distressed jeans, high-waisted jeans, skinny jeans, all of those stuff down there and I try to catch them on their half off sale. So that's when I normally try to go down there. So it's pretty good though.
Yeah. And I think that that's a great point too, is that for somebody who might be selling part-time, mm-hmm. I mean, you really have to make it work into your schedule. I mean, I think people, you know, it's best that people try and find a rhythm or schedule in general mm-hmm. with reselling, like how often you're going to go out. Like maybe you go out twice mm-hmm. a week to thrift, or once every 2 weeks or whatever. And if you have even less time than that, like you said, because you're working another full-time job, going once a month, right? And loading up and finding what, you know, what's going to last you for the next 4 weeks for you to list. And yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, talking about your full-time job, I think I mentioned it already that you work for the United States Postal mm-hmm. Service, which has, you know, I would argue that USPS has had an interesting yeah. year this year. So thank you so much, as somebody who utilizes USPS on the daily. I appreciate all that the employees do. So thank you very much for your continued work. But what, you know, can you tell me, you know, well, one, how, I'm sorry if you said, but how long have you been working there now, and what are your duties there?
I've been working for the post office for 5 years, and I'm a mail carrier. So I deliver mail and packages to customers.
All right. So you're out there in the field doing the work yes. that we love. I mean, what's it like working at the post office? I know it's such a broad question, but, you know, when I think of working at the post office, I think of it being probably a pretty stressful mm-hmm. job. Is it a stressful
it
job?
It is a stressful job. I think people think that we just sit in the truck and just, you know, deliver the mail out of the window, but it's not actually just that. When we first come in the morning, it's kind of like I put you in a mind of like a warehouse job. So we're in like this mm-hmm. distribution center or warehouse type building, and it's like all of these letters and magazines and packages and, you know, all of that has to be sorted out on our route, and we have to actually put those items in trays and actually put it in our truck. So it's a lot of heavy lifting. Sometimes packages are heavy, so it's a lot of heavy lifting, heavy items, fragile items, and all of that good stuff. But I think when people see us, you know, coming down the street, they're just thinking that we're just, mm-hmm. you know, putting the mail inside of the mailbox, but they don't see like what's happening on the back end, because a lot of times you don't get to see that. So it's like a warehouse job. That's the best way I can kind of describe mm-hmm. it. So it's like a lot of hard labor in the inside.
So you mentioned having to do the sorting. I mean, I guess in my mind, I maybe imagine for my mail carrier, this is probably too perfect of a scenario. I imagine that when they went in, all of their maybe deliveries of mail for the day were already sorted for them. Is that not the case? Do you have to sort
sort everything. So the what is happening, the clerks, they are putting let's just say, for instance, if you If your address is 1 ABC Street, so that goes to your particular route, the carts is only putting it in a destination for your route. But once you get it out of your particular area, you have to go back to your case and put it in the designated slot for that particular address. On our routes, we have different addresses, so it's not just like the mailman is just in one particular area. We're all old, you know, we're all over, according to how his or her route is. So I may be in a neighborhood for 15 minutes and I may go to another neighborhood for a whole hour and, you know, things of that sort. And I just have to line it up according to how it falls on my route. So if you're in the beginning of my route and you get a lot of packages, then you will tend to get your mail early in the morning. But if you're getting your mail late in the evening, you're pretty much at the end of the route, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so can you outline, I guess, what a day looks like for you when you go in? Like, how long are you doing the sorting? Because I have to imagine a lot of your day just is one big time crunch, right? You have to have this done by this to get, you know, A to B to C, all the way to Z.
Right. So
Yeah, what does that
when I
look
first
like?
come in, I come in at 8 o'clock. I go and check my vehicle, make sure there's no flat tires, anything like that. Then I go ahead and I pull my mail. So once I pull my mail, depending on how much mail is there, and normally, especially right now with the elections going on, there's a lot of political mail. So we're in the office till about 11, maybe 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And then once I case up all of my mail, meaning that I match up the addresses with the addresses on my case, match up the letters with the address on my case, so I know when I get to that particular address, I have mail for it. So once I case up all of my mail, then I pull it down and put it inside of a tray, and you know, line it up in order. Then I take it out to my truck and then I put it in an order, you know, easy for me to kind of grab. And then I go out and, you know, into the delivery routes and I physically deliver the mail. So now on the street, I'm probably out on the street maybe 6, 7 hours, but inside the office, maybe like 3, 4 hours. Especially now, because the political stuff is going on.
Yeah, that's a lot of mail. I have to imagine coming in and needing to go out. You know, is there like I know that you probably have to have all mail has to be delivered every day, right? You can't put something off till tomorrow, right? It
Nope, it
doesn't work
does
that
not work
way.
that way.
So, I mean, sometimes I've seen my mail carrier in my neighborhood at like way past the regular time. So at that point, are you working on overtime or how does
Yep, we
that
have
work?
overtime and then we have something they call penalty pay, which meaning anything after 10 hours, you'll be paid double. So anything after 8 hours is time and a half, and anything after 10 hours is double time.
Okay, got it. Well, we like that pay, right? I mean, we don't like working for a long time, but we like that pay when it kicks in. So how often do they change your route? Because, you know, I think all, you know, everybody who's listening who gets like regular pickups or sees their mail person frequently will say, oh, you know, I got a new person this week, or I got a, you know. So how often is it getting
Well,
changed
as
up?
a person retires, that route becomes available. So if that person never retires, then of course you would have that same mail carrier on that particular route if they beat it on that route. So say for instance, for me, I'm a regular mail carrier. When you first start off at the post office, you're not a regular mail carrier, you're just like a assistant. So you bounce around from route to route until you become regular and get your own route. So now that I have my own route, I'm on my route until I bid on something else. When I'm off, if I don't, because they do have like a substitute, but if I don't, if nobody bids on the substitute's route, then I may not have a person every single time that I'm off. So you're on that route until, like, if you bid on it, you're on that route until you bid off or if you retire.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I have had the same guy for a while, so I guess I just need he needs to retire before I see anybody else. All right. Okay, so you know, now I'm going to ask some questions of you as somebody who ships frequently. I'm wondering, you know, what are some mistakes you feel like people often make in shipping? Like if you could tell people please right. do this.
And I just had this happen the other day because, of course, you know, people on my route order from Poshmark. They, you know, ship items from their mm-hmm. home to other people that purchase off of Poshmark. Yeah. But what I've seen is that a lot of times people are not taping down their label. So I had a label that was ripped off where the barcode was. Mm. So just say, for instance, if you actually really needed that money as soon as possible, the customer, you know, maybe the customer did not know to rate you or something like that. But as a mail carrier, I wouldn't have the option to scan that package delivered because the barcode was ripped off. So what I say is, because of all of mm-hmm. the items from the post office to ship in on Poshmark are free. So you could go, you know, order these plastic, it's called custom label holders. You can order those label holders from the USPS website, and you can stick your label inside of those clear envelopes, and you can actually stick it on your box. And that way it's secure and you don't have to worry about the label, you know, getting ripped off or something like that. But I would definitely tell everybody, if you're going to tape your label down, make sure it's all the way taped down, not just around the edges. That's not enough.
Yeah, no, that's a great tip. I mean, twofold. So please, anybody who, you know, is still, you know, if mm-hmm. you print paper labels, you don't have like a thermal label printer, for instance. But if you still have the paper labels, like Nikki said, you can go to USPS website, and this is under the yep. free shipping supplies mm-hmm. section. Yeah, so get these plastic label covers. They're free. If you don't want to do that, tape all of your labels down all the way. And I think I asked you this at one point, Nikki, because somebody had asked me. Now, I don't print paper labels because I have my mm-hmm. thermal label printer. But somebody had asked me, or I had heard, that people were saying don't tape the barcode because it makes it not scannable. But that is
it's not true
right?
with the if you're using clear tape. Now, if you're using the priority tape and it kind of covers, because the priority has all of the, you know, the wording on it and stuff like that, then it may not scan. But if you're using clear tape, it's totally fine. I've done it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I have done it. I still occasionally print paper labels for other different things, but
right.
I never had that problem. I'm like, I don't know what sort of tape people are using. Maybe they're like taping right. over like six times. Like, I mean, maybe if you put six layers of clear tape on there, you might have trouble scanning it, but okay. Okay. So that's one thing you commonly see. I mean, are there other things that you see, like, for instance, I don't know, with the way people schedule pickups from their home, or
not really.
I don't know. Is there anything else weird?
Schedule pickups from home, because normally when people schedule pickups from home, sometimes they have like, okay, they may do it the night before and they may have two items, and then when you get there, they have 10. That's totally fine. I, you know, pretty much don't.
Okay, good. Phew, because I've done that.
I don't think that's a big issue, but what I have saw is that, say, for instance, if you're not using Poshmark, you're using another app like eBay, for instance, and you're selling an item and mm-hmm. you're shipping it first class, but you're putting it inside of a priority envelope or something like that, then the customer may be charged for that item, because a lot of times people think that that they could use first class labels on priority boxes, and that's, you know, that's not true. You will have to actually pay for their priority price mm-hmm. and sometimes the post office won't catch it right then and there, but when it gets to that customer, the customer is going to have a postage due fee, meaning that they're going to have to pay the difference of that item being shipped. So you want to be careful of how you use your labels, priority with priority stuff and first class with just your regular poly mailers.
Yeah, no, that's a great tip, especially if anybody who's coming from using Poshmark mm-hmm. where you have this automated label, it's very user-friendly, to a platform like eBay where, right, you now have to seek out right. other shipping materials, right? You can't just use the whatever medium flat rate box or whatever you've been using. And that, right, they might not realize that although the item might get delivered, the customer will get a notice in their box saying yep. that they probably owe what, mm-hmm. like $5.25 and that it's probably going to affect right. your feedback from a buyer, right? Because now all of a sudden somebody has to pay another $5 just to get their package, and they probably yep. have to go to the post yep. office to pick it up. And oh, it's just like a headache. Okay. Yeah, I'm like, other, I'm like, are there other annoyances? Now's your time to speak up for your community, yeah, Nikki.
Let me see. Just make sure you're wrapping your items, you know, carefully, because a lot of times people don't know that. Sometimes I know it says fragile on it, but it's in the bins with other items. And sometimes, yes, they may just sit it to the side, but there's more than one particular person that's throwing packages in that same hamper, and that person may not know that there's a fragile item inside of that hamper as well. So you just want to make sure if you have a fragile item inside of that package, make sure you're wrapping that item very, very carefully, because they are really, I don't want to say tossing it, but they're just putting it in the hamper, and other items, somebody right behind them may not know that there's a fragile item in there, and I don't want anything to happen to your items.
It's okay, Nikki. You can go ahead and say that. You guys toss them. We know that you toss them. Those, listen, I learned very early on in reselling that if you don't wrap it up, like it's about to be thrown around like a football, it's going to break. All right. So, you know, I'm wondering, do your coworkers know that you resell? Because obviously in some ways those two worlds kind of bleed together. And I guess have you been a source of information for your coworkers about, you know, packages? Because when I think of sometimes when I go and drop off packages, I've heard from other people also that maybe they'll get a little bit of flack from the post office, like about, I don't know, like a Poshmark label on a box, like, oh, this isn't supposed to go like this. And then it's like, no, it is. Yeah. This is the way Poshmark ships.
Yeah, I think it depends on the person, because when I was off homeschooling my kids, the local post office by my house had told me that I was, because I was running out of ink, which I knew I was running out of ink, but you can easily enter the numbers and, you know, and scan it that way. But they were saying that I couldn't use their label because it couldn't scan. And I already knew that numbers could be punched in and entered that way as well. So I just didn't make it a big deal. I just, you know, went home and, you know, grabbed some new ink from the store and just reprinted my label. So I just try not to give the post office a hard time. But I guess it just depends on the person who's actually accepting the items up front. But my local post office, I try to take everything with me to work, because they already know that I resell. I like to get my receipt at the end, because to me, that's my proof that I actually shipped my item. And, you know, I don't have any issues at my at the post office that I work at. But if I go to any other one, sometimes I do have issues with sometimes the type of box, because I know Poshmark says that we could use any box, but I guess I don't know if they have relayed the message to the post office, but they want you to use the box that only says mailing box. So sometimes that's an issue as well.
Oh, so like if you brought in one that said like large flat rate box.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, right. Yeah, I wonder what the agreement is.
But on the label, it says food that for you thought. Can somebody use any box, and it has that on there. But, you know, sometimes the clerks up front will kind of give you a hard time about that. So I just try to make sure I just only order the mailing boxes from when I order my stuff off the.
I know firsthand how exhausting it can be to manage all the tasks in my reselling business, like listing, bookkeeping, and more, but I found a solution that has given me back my time and allowed me to grow my business, hiring a virtual assistant. And now I want to share that solution with you. That's why I've created an online course called Hiring a Virtual Assistant for Your Reselling Business. With this course, you'll learn everything you need to know to find, train, and manage a virtual assistant like a pro. And because I want to make this course accessible to everyone, I'm offering a special coupon code, FLIPTHESCRIPT, that gives you $10 off at checkout. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your reselling business to the next level. Sign up now at hiringava.com and let's enjoy the freedom and fun of growing our businesses together. Again, you can sign up at hiringava.com.
Website.
Yeah, that's another great tip. I mean, just like if anybody's getting any flack from, you know, or pushback about the boxes that they're using, there are other boxes other than flat rate boxes. to choose from, right. And definitely don't choose the express ones. I'm gonna get a lot of trouble for that one. Okay, I think my last question I'll ask you about the post office is, do you guys appreciate when people leave little thank you gifts on the doorstep?
That is so nice.
Oh, okay, good.
It could be like the simple stuff. Like I got some hand sanitizer one time. I thought that was so, I thought that was so sweet. Oh, nice. And then, with everything going on right now, some people are actually putting tissue, because at one point in time it was hard to find tissue and things like that. So customers were putting out tissue, bottle of waters and stuff like that, because we don't have AC in those trucks. I don't know if you know that, but we do not have AC in the trucks.
That's awful.
Yeah.
And you're in Georgia. So I can't imagine what that's like. Oh my gosh. And do people do things like at the end of the year, do you get like little Christmas cards?
Yes, that's like
from
the
people,
best
like,
time of the year for the mail carriers, because that's when your customers give you gift cards. Sometimes they give you cash. Yes, like I have gotten cash. I have gotten Starbucks gift cards, food gift cards. Like I love food.
That's awesome.
So anytime I get a food gift card, I'm excited about it, because I don't have to pay for their food out of my pocket.
Okay. Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah. We love free food. So if people want to leave something for their mail carrier, where's the best place to put it? Is it the doorstep? Should they leave it in the like outgoing mail?
You would put it inside your mailbox. You could leave it at your doorstep if you have a package that's being picked up. But what you want to do is you want to make sure it's labeled for the mail carrier, because, we don't know if it's for us, because sometimes your neighbors may put something in your mailbox as well, which they don't supposed to, but sometimes that happens, and you don't want to be grabbing somebody else has put in there for that wasn't for you.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, cool. Well, I hope that you get lots of gifts this year. And I hope that everybody who's listening, myself included, leaves a little gift for their postal carrier this year.
Right.
Because it's been a tough year for you all. And again, like I said, I appreciate all the work that you and your coworkers have done. So, okay. Back to my regularly scheduled questions. So, we mentioned that at the beginning of this year, you started selling on Poshmark. Have you branched out since then? Are you a multiple platform
I'm
seller?
I'm actually selling on Mercari and eBay.
Okay, so how and when did that start? When did you think I'm going to try some other stuff too?
I was putting some items on everything that I would put on Poshmark. I would just cross list over to Mercari, because to be honest, Mercari is where I make most of my sales. I always just cross list over there. And then eBay came along is because when I started getting items from my boyfriend, which were more higher dollar items, because he liked Nikes and Jordans and things like that. Because Poshmark does do the offers and stuff like that, and people wanted to send offers that I wasn't really comfortable with receiving, I would try out eBay. And once I started putting his shoes over there, I would, nobody would really send me an offer. They would just do the buy it now, because that's what I have it set as. And that's how I, I guess I tried to cross list my item over there. Over there, I just cross list more of the higher dollar items to eBay, and I leave everything else on the other platforms, I guess you would say.
Okay. And how, as again, thinking of somebody who's working a regular full-time job, I mean, how do you manage multiple platforms and, or, what advice would you give to somebody else who's maybe, in a similar situation to you, who's working a full-time job,
right,
who is short on time and they're only on one platform right now.
Figure out a schedule, come up with a schedule. For me at that particular time, I only had Sundays off, because I would go in on my other off day at work just to make some extra money. But on Sundays, I would do everything. I would take a couple of hours to do my shopping. I would take a couple of hours to photograph and list those items into drafts, so that during the week I would, make those drafts go live. And then when I get off of work, I could spend the rest of the day with my family. So that what works for me Sundays. That's my just straight working day for me. So I just think the best advice I could give someone is just to create a schedule that works for you.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I didn't, when I was at my last job, I resold part-time for a short amount of time before I became a full-time reseller. Yes. But it's hard. The time management, I mean, just to, like you said, mm-hmm. to find time to source, mm-hmm. and, you know, sourcing's the easy part, right? You got to get a home.
Right.
And there's all the back end work. It's a lot of stuff to do. So I agree, finding a day or a couple of days and then doing that batch work, like you said, like mm-hmm. photograph all your stuff and then later sit down and list your stuff. Okay. So on that note, you know, tell me about your workspace. I mean, do you have a spot in your home that you work out of or is dedicated yep. or are you like so many people? Is your
yes,
kitchen table
actually,
your desk?
I work from my living room. I have like a little sunroom that I consider it like my workspace. Mm-hmm. And then I have a dining room, which I don't have a dining room set as of right now. So that's where I'm holding all of my inventory. I have like the, what do you call it? The little shelving unit. I have one of those and I just stick my tubs mm-hmm. inside of there. And then I have the computer and the shipping where I do my shipping in the sunroom area and where I do my photographing and stuff like that, because it's right by the window. That's where the most sun comes in and I can get the best picture. So I'm mm-hmm. working from my living room in my 2-bedroom apartment.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's nice though, that you said you've got kind of that sunroom spot and right with the natural light. So that's great. So you mentioned earlier talking about like not having a light kit or anything. Do you still work off of natural light?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, that's kind of the best. If you've got a good spot where you can get good natural light, we don't have that up here in Seattle, Washington. It's too much gray. We can't, there's not enough natural light. So I'm jealous of you. So, you know, as you just said, right, you're working out of the 2-bedroom apartment. I guess that kind of makes me think that my next question might bleed into this. But, you know, what are some of the challenges you face in your business? I mean, do you have space issues? Do you have mm-hmm. time issues, right? Because you're working this other full-time yeah. job, you've got 2 kids.
The big,
what do you feel like is your biggest
challenge?
Yeah, the
biggest challenge is the time. I'm finding that the time is the most thing that I'm having a hard time with, because I've already listed mm-hmm. all of my items in my closet. Now I really need to get out more to the thrift stores to pick up more items, because right now my closet, you know, I'm selling items are decreasing. So I have the space, I just don't have the product. But I'm also working a full-time mm-hmm. job and I'm not getting off till late. And then I still have 2 kids. I have to go and pick up because he's smaller, and then I have a teenager. So it's just finding the time to actually, okay, go to the store and possibly pick up items that I could kind of list throughout the week is what I'm finding the hard time doing. Because a lot of times, even when you go to the thrift store,
yeah,
I may have the time to go to the thrift store. It doesn't mean I'm going to pick up a lot of items or going to find a lot of items there to pick up. So,
yeah, I mean, in some ways when you first started talking, saying that item, like that you're selling through items and you need more stuff.
Right.
I'm like, oh, that's a good problem yeah. though. I'm like, I want that problem. I like that one. But yeah, again, the time issue. I mean, have you thought, I don't know, have you thought of like creative ways to solve it? Is there, you know, do you think, have you thought about going back on maybe like the Nextdoor app
think
to get
about
more
that,
free
but
inventory?
I'm just so afraid that I might get items that I possibly couldn't use, and then I'll be stuck with all of those items, and then I don't want to, you know, have all of these items inside of my home, because I just don't want that to happen. But what I've been doing lately is I've been taking my other off days. So now I have 2 off days instead of that, just that Sunday. So that's where the more time comes in and I can kind of get out more and do the shopping. And then my kids' grandparents, they help out as well. So those on the weekends when they're not home and when I get off of work, if I can get off work a little bit earlier, or if I can even get off in enough time to kind of shop up there, I would go out and shop up there while I'm in that particular area, because normally I would just shop where I live. And I don't think that that's really a good thing as well, because it kind of get, you get seeing the same old thing. And I kind of want to try different thrift stores out. So when I can get off in a decent amount of time, I would try out the thrift stores that's up where I work. And then on the weekends, like I said, when my kids are with their grandparents, I will go out as well.
Yeah, we love going to new areas. That's always fun. Okay, so in thinking about your business, and this has been 2020 has been a very interesting and challenging year for us in so many different ways. I'm wondering, where do you see the future of your reselling business going? I mean, do you ever see yourself becoming a full-time reseller, or if not that, do you see yourself expanding in different ways, maybe to new platforms, or maybe outside of do you have thoughts of expanding outside of reselling in different ways as an
Yes, I
entrepreneur?
actually
What are your
one of
thoughts?
my goals is to I mean, I don't see myself becoming a full-time reseller. I actually like my job at the post office, and I think I'm gonna retire from there. And once I retire from there, maybe I would consider myself a full-time reseller, then. But I do have a goal of one day owning my own online boutique. And then I also want to, still have the reselling as a side hustle or a part-time job, just to because I want to do something with nonprofit. I since when my mom passed, she didn't have any life insurance or any savings. There's a lot of other people that's in the same, situation. And when people donated money to me and, for me to give my mama the proper funeral arrangement, I want to do that with somebody else. And the way that I feel like I want to do that is I'm going to be taking the funds I make with my reselling, and I'm going to donate that money to someone that may need it to give their loved one a proper funeral service. So that's what I eventually want to do with the reselling journey. But I don't see myself just actually quitting my job and becoming a full-time reseller.
That's so awesome. I mean, one, that's amazing that people helped you out in a time of need, and that the end of life planning is not always something that's thought out by people.
Yes,
And
definitely.
it's expensive. I mean, like tens of thousands expensive, because there's so many decisions that need to be made. And I think, unfortunately, I've heard before that it's a vulnerable time for people. And I think that the funeral industry can make a lot of money off of people at that time as well. But I'm glad to hear that you were taken care of by your community. And then additionally, that you want to give back in that way. I think that that's really amazing, because that's just not, I don't know, that's not something I would immediately think of when I think of nonprofit, but that's awesome. That's really great. All right. Well, I guess my last question for you, Nikki, is what advice would you give yourself when you were first starting out as a reseller? And I know, it wasn't that long ago, right? Thinking back to January 2020, but maybe even better, it wasn't that long ago. So, what advice would you have thought
Well,
would have
I
been
would
helpful
say
at that
just to
time for
give
you to
yourself
hear?
some grace, because a lot of time I put pressure on myself, and I know that it's so easy to get caught up what we see on social media and over there, with what other people are doing. It's just best to just give yourself some grace and know that you're doing the best that you can with what you have. And not everyone is the same. Not all of us are full-time resellers. Not all of us have the time to do all of the things. But whatever you could do in the amount of time that you could do, just give yourself some grace and celebrate those small wins. It's so I think it's wonderful. I celebrate my one package. If I'm shipping out one package, I celebrate that because I feel like one sale is better than no sale. So I celebrate every single sale that I get.
Yeah, I think that's so important what you said about giving yourself grace. I mean, I think that it's really easy to look at social media and see everyone's hustle, right? And it's amplified, right? Because you might be following like 500 people. So now you're looking at 500 people who are telling you to work, 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 right? At different times. Maybe they're not all saying it at once, but they're saying it on their rhythm. However, there's more, always more to the story, you know, that we don't see, right? That we are all humans, and we have different, we all have really different lives, is the truth. You know what I mean? Like, no two resellers' lives can be are the same, right? Even if we look at somebody, I think even if we look at somebody else, like, right, like for instance, like I have one child. If I look at somebody else who is like me, who has one child, we appear to sell on the same platforms, all that stuff, we might live in different areas of the country, right? And so our businesses are very different. We probably source very different items. You know what I mean? We have probably very different cost of goods. We probably have very different things going on in our personal life that we're not showing online that affect our ability to complete our work, you know? So I think that, yeah, like what you said, giving yourself grace, knowing that, I think just knowing that you're doing the best that you can is so underrated. Like, let's just make that a thing for 2021. Just do you and be happy with what you're
Definitely.
doing. That's awesome. Okay. Well, thank you
You
so
are
much,
so
Nikki, for
welcome.
being on the podcast with me today. This has been such a great conversation. Thank you for indulging me in all my USPS questions because, I mean, honestly, I could have probably gone on for like another 2 hours asking you questions, but I don't know if everyone's as interested as me, but I'm like eternally fascinated about talking about post office and post office issues. And there's probably tons of post office gossip, but I don't want to get you in trouble.
You're
But
welcome.
thank you so much for being
All right,
on,
bye,
and I will talk
Denali.
with you soon. Hey there. Thanks for tuning into the Flip the Script podcast. I wanted to take a quick moment to express my gratitude for your continued support. As a listener, you play a crucial role in the success of this podcast. And there are so many ways you can help out, and I'd love to share a few with you. For starters, you can support the podcast with a monthly donation as low as 99 cents at flipthescriptpodcast.com. Every little bit counts. And if you want to show your love even more, don't forget to subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform. I read every review and really appreciate those who've left reviews already. And last but not least, be sure to check out the affiliate links in the show notes. There is a small kickback that is received from any purchases that you might make. And of course, follow flipthescript.pod on Instagram. It's also a great way to stay up to date on the latest episodes and behind the scenes content. Thank you again for being a part of the Flip the Script community. I couldn't do it without you. Thank you again to Nikki for being on this week's episode of the podcast. I had so much fun discussing the growth of your business with you over this past year, as well as thank you for indulging me in all of my USPS questions. I seriously could probably make like 2 or 3 more episodes out of talking on shipping best practices. You can find Nikki on Instagram under the username GlowGirlGlow. That's GlowGirlGlow. And on Poshmark under Nikki's Closet Boutique. Again, all of that information will be in the show notes for you. I know I say it every time, it's either the beginning of a month or the end of the month, but here we are almost at the end of October. It's so crazy to say. Halloween is upon us. It's going to look a little bit different this year, so I hope whatever you're doing, you indulge yourself with your favorite Halloween candy.
I did mention that last week I launched my first course, which is on hiring a virtual assistant for your reselling business. So the course is now live. If you are interested in signing up for it, I will have a link in the show notes for you. However, you can also go to hiringava.com. Truly, this has been the best thing for my business. It really helped me grow in the past few years, and I couldn't do any of this without help from others. So check it out if you are interested. But in the meantime, keep on listing and keep on selling.